RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
After last night in the MVP odds shift that happened, to talk about it all, he joins us every single Tuesday here at 520, the great Albert Breer. Happy holidays, Albert. Welcome back. Thank you so much for joining us.
You got it, guys. What's up?
Oh, man. Same old, same old. We've had two different reports this week. One from Josina that says the Browns have talked to Chris Greer and Tom Telesco. And then another from Jeremy Fowler on Kevin Clark's podcast saying that the Browns have done preliminary search on the coaching market. When you hear those two reports, Albert, what does it make you think about where the Browns are with 1 week to go with Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry?
I mean, I think it's going to be tough for them to go total status quo based on the year that they've had and where they are. And I think that is hard for Jimmy and his family because I think they really like a lot of the people that work for them. I think they really like Andrew Berry as general manager. They really like Kevin Stefanski. They really like their coordinators, Reese and Schwartz. So there's a lot of people I feel like they really like in that building. And people I've talked to say Jimmy still doesn't know what he's going to do yet. Now, it's possible he does, and those people just aren't informed, and he has it in his head what's going to happen next. But, I mean, I think, like, you know, we've sort of run the gamut here of, you know, do they bring Andrew back and then let go of Kevin? Do they restructure and Andrew is in some sort of elevated role and now, you know, Kevin's either there or he's not there. So I don't know that anything's been completely ruled out. You know, the team has been competitive the last couple of weeks. They went toe-to-toe with Buffalo. Buffalo's a really good team. You know, they were able to knock off the Steelers. Could how they play on Sunday, you know, have an effect on things? I don't think anything's completely off the table yet. My expectation is that Jimmy would probably have talks with Kevin on what he wants to do and where they want to go. You know, and sometimes those talks don't wait until after the final game. They could have those talks at the end of this week, potentially. I have a harder time seeing Andrew not being part of the mix in some way next year. But again, like, I think it's after all that water's under the bridge, after everything they've been through at the quarterback position, after everything that's happened over the last 4 or 5 years, the Deshaun trade and everything else, I don't know if they feel like they can run it back completely the same way it is now in 2026.
Can you take us through what that the involvement of like talking to coaches in a preliminary way, what that looks like, how often that's an occurrence?
Yeah.
It's
not uncommon. I think like a big piece of it, like if you are going to have a coaching search or you're even thinking about having a coaching search, those things move really fast, right? And they're competitive, and this is a little bit of a depleted market. The other thing that I think is important to remember here is, you know, I do think that there are – I think there's at least a team or two out there where they're on the fence and looking at it and saying, well, like, this isn't working completely the way we want it to, but maybe it looks better than what's out there on the market, right? In that, like, you don't have a Ben Johnson or Mike Vrabel. And I would have sat here last year at this time and told you guys, like, Ben Johnson's getting a job, Mike Vrabel's getting a job. I'm almost positive. Right? That those two guys are going to wind up with jobs. And they got jobs. And I don't know that there's anybody I feel that way about this year. And that's not saying that it couldn't be a great head coach that comes out of the mix this year. There could be. But, you know, I think the way that most people look at it is there are way more dice rolls this year. And, you know, I think for some owners, you know, if you're weighing it and you're, like, on the fence a little bit, you might wind up, because you're looking at that, giving your current coach another year, because you just look at it and you say, I'm not wild about the options that might be out there for me if I do move on.
Albert Breer, MMQB.
The other thing, Jonathan, I feel bad. I didn't fully completely answer your question there. But, like, the other thing to remember there, too, is just, I think there are background checks and that sort of stuff. You want to have, like, those ducks in a row if there's even a chance that you're gonna be running a search. So this isn't contact directly with the coaches. You know what I mean? Like, this is more background work, talking to agents, doing background checks, that sort of stuff.
Albert, how much, given what he did against Buffalo, that was a close game, even though it was a loss, given you just beat Pittsburgh, how much would a win and a nice performance from Shador matter for Kevin Stefanski as part of this conversation we're having?
Well, I certainly think, like, if they're going to go forward together, right? And I say that because I do think, like, Jimmy likes and respects Kevin enough that there would be some, you always hear, like, oh, it's a mutual parting, whatever. Like, whatever they decide to do, I think, like, they are going to sit down and talk about the whole thing, you know? I think if they are going to go forward together, it would have to be with, you know, some sort of defined plan for next year and going forward. And they would want to talk about that maybe in a more detailed way than you would coming off a normal season. And so what does that look like with the two first-round picks? What does that look like at quarterback? And, you know, if you do talk about that before the last game of the year, you know, can you see, like, pieces of those plans, of that plan coming into place in week 18? And so can you visualize it looking out there on the field? So, you know, so much of this stuff can be so fluid this time of year. But, you know, I think another good showing certainly wouldn't hurt, especially when you look at the makeup of the team. And you see for the first time in a while, I mean, there are half dozen rookies out there that you can see, you know, being a big part of your future.
On the first report that Nick had mentioned, Albert, the Telesco one and the Greer one, if they had that set up where you promote Andrew Berry and then it's either Telesco or Greer, what do you think of that? Do you think that's a good plan? Do you think that's something that would make sense even? Or is that something that now we're just adding more cooks to the kitchen?
RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
I don't think it would be crazy. I think both those guys are good guys, professional. Both of them have, like, a heavy scouting background, you know. Like Chris Greer came up, like, through several different regimes in Miami and was a road scout. You know, Tom Telesco's more of an in-office scout, but worked for Bill Polian. And, you know, I think, like, built some pretty good rosters, if you look at it, in San Diego and then Los Angeles after they moved. So, you know, I think, you know, they both have experience, of course, looking at and drafting quarterbacks. You know, Tom Telesco was part of the team that drafted Peyton Manning and Andrew Luck. Not that those are tough calls, but, you know, then, you know, went to the Chargers and was there with Phillip Rivers. So he's seen what it looks like. Chris Greer was actually, like, there, you know, when they, you know, when the Dolphins, drafted Ryan Tannehill. You know, he was in charge when the Dolphins drafted Tua, so I think some of that background can help too. I do think like there is like a piece to that though. Like if Andrew's still in the building, does that like sort of limit what you're looking at in GM candidates? In other words, like, do people look at that as a full-on GM job, or is it something a little less than that if Andrew's still in charge? I think that would be, you know, a fair question for anybody who's looking at the job to ask.
Albert, the Steelers losing on Sunday to the Browns set up this win or go home against the Ravens on Sunday. And if the Steelers lose, obviously that means they will have blown basically a two-game lead in the AFC North. Do you think that'll have any impact on Mike Tomlin's conversations with the Steelers about his future in Pittsburgh?
Yeah, I do. I mean, I think you like look at that game, and it's just, I think we're going to be talking about the future of those franchises all week. Like, I think this is, like, in a weird way, becomes a little bit of a referendum game, you know? And, like, there's a lot on the line for both teams, of course. Like, just, you know, you win, you're in, you lose, you go home. So, I mean, it's, you know, some game here. There's no wild card berth for either of them. You know, but I think the other piece of it is, does that coach still have the juice in the big game? Is that coach still going to be able to get his team in position to play on a big stage? And so, you know, I do think to some degree, like some of those conversations, a little bit of the awkwardness and everything else gets broken if now all of a sudden you're preparing for a playoff game next week. Whereas if you're not, like some of the stuff that you're going through next week, maybe you're asking some of those bigger picture questions. You know, with some of the age on both rosters, particularly Pittsburgh, I think you're probably asking big picture questions on both sides, both on the side of the coach and the organization.
What'd you make of the big convo after that game where Myles Garrett in the post game said they were paying way too much attention to him and Aaron Rodgers was basically just trying not to be on the other end of the sack record? And it's something that Josh Allen had voiced the week prior as well. But in that game in particular, and that's a must-win game, Albert, did you feel like they were more concerned offensively, Pittsburgh was, about making sure that Myles didn't get the record as opposed to anything else?
Well, my first thought is I love Myles Garrett for speaking his mind, and he's always been that way. So keep it up, Myles. I love getting the way guys really feel like that. You know, as a guy, as somebody who, like, storytelling is part of my job. I don't know, man. Like, there's so many things that go into an NFL game plan, you know. I think the interesting thing about the one with Aaron, right, because I don't think that was necessarily the case with Josh Allen. They're trying to win the game. You know, the Bills have a lot on the line. The Steelers do, too. I do think, like, you know, both things can kind of be true, you know, where you've got this older quarterback who doesn't move the way he used to, and you've got this terrifying pass rusher on the other side. It's like, of course, our first priority is to keep his hands off our quarterback. Well, at the same time, if you're doing that, you're preventing him from getting the record. You know what I mean? Like, so it's like, yes, it was a priority not to let Myles Garrett break our 42-year-old quarterback in half. Like, does that mean your, like, priority is to stop him from getting the record? Yeah, maybe, but, like, it's really more about protecting the quarterback from, you know, an elite all-time pass rusher.
I get what you're saying. I think it's, you know, like a 1.88 time to throw, which is fastest in the NFL by a wide margin. And, like, if you watch the game, I'm sure you ought to watch every game. I get it. But, like, there was so many plays, Albert, where it was just pretty obvious that in that moment, Aaron wanted to do anything but let anyone, not only Myles, but anyone get a sack on him.
Yeah, I kept an eye on that, too. I did keep an eye on that game. Like, that was one of the games I had. You guys got the big screen treatment this week, just so you know.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
But I think maybe you guys got the window into, like, the way he's been playing for a little while now.
Mm-hmm.
And that, like, I do think there is a little bit of that, and that is the difference. You know, when a quarterback gets old, and I do think the way you can see age in some of these guys, right? Like, I think it's always been the case. I think it was the case of Favre at the end. You even saw a little bit of it with Brady, with Manning. You certainly saw it. Is their clock changes, right? And I it becomes this equation of, so he drops back there, and, like, there's, you know, when you're a primary career, you can run around, you can protect yourself, right? And as you get older, you become less capable of protecting yourself. And you know the consequences of getting hit. So if you, like, know in the back of your head, I can't protect myself the same way I could 5 years ago, nearly the same way I could 10 years ago, well, then part of the equation for you is going to be, I got to get rid of the ball quicker. And if you take a couple of bad hits, right, because you couldn't protect yourself, and we've seen older quarterbacks take these hits, well, then isn't that going to speed you up a little bit more? Like, to me, like, that's one of the biggest ways you can see age in a quarterback is how quickly is he looking to get rid of the ball, and how fast is it out of his hand, and is he letting plays develop? And I think, you know, a lot of these who play into their late 30s, into their 40s, you know, most recently, I think you saw it in Matt Ryan a little bit, like, where they're just sped up because they can't protect themselves the same way they used to. And I certainly think that's the case with Aaron.
Albert, we don't get the chance to talk a lot of NFC East football with you, but Trevon Diggs was released or waived by the Cowboys today. Kind of surprising, given his name, and it was about 4 years ago. He had 11 interceptions. What happened between the Cowboys and Trevon Diggs?
Yeah, there was a wide-ranging disconnect. I think there was some dispute over how he was injured earlier in the year, and there were a few different things, like where the team just wasn't on the same page with Diggs. And then, you know, my understanding is there was a problem with him getting on the flight home. And I think at that point it was kind of, do we keep him around for the last week of the season when he just doesn't fit into what we're trying to build here? And we're really trying to have a positive final week of the year and, like, go rolling into the off season with good vibes. And I think that they've been through a lot there. Remember, you know, there's like a trade at the beginning of the season. There was a real life tragedy in the middle of the season for them, you know, with Marshawn Neal's death. You know, like they've dealt with a lot. And I think, you know, my sense was it was just like enough's enough. You know what I mean? Like, and we just don't want to deal with this the last week of the season. So they cut him. And, you know, now what happens is he goes on waivers. And if you want to pick him up off waivers, it's $500,000, right? If you pick him up off waivers for $500,000, that's a lot for one game. But if you're a playoff team, maybe you would think about doing it because you get him for the playoffs, right? And so that would be the question: is like, do you want to like pick him? Do you want to pay $500,000 to get him into the playoffs? He doesn't have any guaranteed money left, so you probably cut him after the playoffs are over. He's got $15.5 million non-guaranteed for next year. I don't think anybody would pay that at this point. So he could be a flyer for somebody to take on the premise, like, well, you know, he's going to act right while he's here because he has to because his career is on the line. So we'll see what happens. The other part of it is his tape wasn't very good. Like, what we've seen recently from him on tape wasn't very good, you know. But maybe if you're a playoff team, you have a need there. Buffalo took a flyer a few weeks ago, and Darius Slay, if you remember. Maybe somebody takes that sort of flyer on him. We'll see.
Albert, Ohio State, Miami tomorrow. Ohio State's offensive output against Indiana, no bueno. Miami, the 11th ranked defense in college football, according to PFF. What's your confidence that Ohio State's going to at least make it to the next round of the playoffs?
Pretty good. How do you guys feel?
I actually think because Miami's defense is so good, there's more doubt than I thought there would be going into this game, even though I know Carson Beck is in danger.
Yeah, I feel pretty good, Albert. Ryan Day doing the play calling, though. That's it. And he's making an Bella Danger joke. Don't mind him.
I would say, like, Ryan Day had a heavier hand in play calling during the playoffs last year than a lot of people know. And I think having Ryan as a play caller is going to be really interesting. And, you know, my one concern, right, like, I think it's fair to be concerned over the Miami defensive line, you know, and I do think, like, the defense, like, I think we are in that area where, you know, the defense can say to the offense, just get us 17 points. And one point of concern is, like, does the layoff affect them, right? Because we saw that last year with the top four seeds, and all of them, I think, looked a little off kilter. And if you remember, 5, 6, 7, and 8 all won in that quarterfinal round. So that's the one thing. But I would say this, like, I, for whatever it's worth, I've heard Ohio State has done like just a crap load of sports science work on what happened last year to those teams, and it's been part of the equation for them. So I think we'll win. I think if we play well, we win handily. But again, the layoff has me a little, it just has, gives me a little bit of pause.
Albert, great stuff, buddy. Happy New Year. Go Bucks. We'll talk to you next week.
All right, go Bucks.
Albert Breer there. I really wanted to do, because Carson Beck has been in a bell of danger, but I didn't really want to. I thought it was too
on the nose.
Too on the nose. I wanted to see if Albert was hip.
Yeah.
And then
he laughed after it. He knew.
He did.
He knew.
He knew. Can't beat those allegations. We'll react to what Albert had to say in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan.
RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcasts.